Hey, you guys. It's fucking... What day is it? Tuesday.
Okay.
I totally spaced it out and forgot what day it was.
Yeah.
I think it's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
I guess. But, yeah, if you hear noises outside, the landscapers are out there.
Whole crew out there.
And they're right... My office is right over the garage, which is right by where they're working.
Right.
So if you hear voices and banging and stuff like that down there, that's what that is.
It might throw us out of the damn show. We don't like the distractions. But we've got to get it done.
No need for me too, says shit starting.
Yeah. It doesn't help. Anyway, we saw a pretty good movie on Netflix. It's like a made-for-Netflix movie. It had The Rock in it. And it was pretty good. It's pretty good. It's kind of like it's just kind of like another big-budget action movie with The Rock. It had a lot of comedy in it. A bunch of shit happened. Had a bunch of elements from, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Mission Impossible. I didn't knew it, you know what I mean? It's aping the Mission
Ocean's
Impossible.
11 kind of had some Ocean's 11 vibe in there.
Yeah. And it's they set it up for a sequel, kind of like they're making a new property, but had some twists and turns in the story, and kind of turned out in an unexpected way, and it was good. It was good. The Rock plays this cop, and he starts dealing with this guy who's a professional art thief. Then there's a woman who's also a professional art thief, and they're trying to steal these damn eggs. They're trying to get three of these eggs to Cleopatra. Historically, the fucking movie doesn't make any sense. It knows it doesn't make any sense.
It kind of like National Treasure in that way. Did you see that one with Nicolas Cage?
Right.
With the thing on the back of the... Was it on the back of the Declaration of Independence or some shit like that? I can't remember. Like a treasure map on the back of the Declaration of Independence.
It's, you know, Cleopatra didn't have any fucking golden eggs made. All right, this is all just...
Well, Mark Antony made them for her, I think was the story.
Right.
Because they give you, at the very beginning, there's like a little prologue that's almost set up like one of those kind of like History Channel documentaries that tells about like the history of these eggs, and Mark Antony made them for her.
Right.
And then one of them got found and was is in a museum in Rome.
Yeah.
And then the other one was found and is in like a private collection. And the third one was never found.
Yeah.
Which, so that kind of plot plays into it as well.
And the eggs don't look Roman. They don't even look old. They look brand new.
They're pretty snazzy though, I gotta say.
They look like something from the 1700s though.
Yeah.
They almost look like fucking 1700s French.
Gold for days.
Yeah.
With jewels all over it. I'm into it.
I like
the opulence.
And then lost Nazi treasure gets involved in...
Raiders
of the Lost Ark.
I like that they did like the Hitler bunker situation there. That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yep.
But the thing about this movie... I'm not entirely sure like how the movie biz works exactly. This movie, I don't think it was actually made for Netflix. It was actually made, or at least the idea of it, there was like a bidding war for all the different major studios, right? Because the idea for this was floating around like a couple years ago. They were actually supposed to shoot it back in 2019, and then they shot some of it, and then it had to be like postponed because they had to go to Rome and because of COVID and all that other stuff. So they didn't finish shooting it until 2020. And then they were going to release it in theaters, but then Netflix... and Universal and Legendary like went in and bought the rights to it. So this actually did get a theatrical release. It came out in the theaters in November, like this past November.
Okay.
And then a week later, it went to Netflix.
Oh, I never even heard of it.
I hadn't either. And the only reason we came across it, I had, because we have Amazon Prime, we have Hulu, we have Shudder, we watch Tubi. So Netflix, I usually only check it like every now and then when I remember. And I was on there the other day because I've been watching Archive 81, and I went on there to watch an episode or so of that. And then we were scrolling through, and Tom's like, "Hey, there's a movie with The Rock in it, and we should watch that."
Yeah.
And I hadn't even heard of it, even though I discovered today this movie recently unseated Bird Box as the most watched movie on the platform.
Okay.
In its first 3 days, and I think like the most, because you know how Netflix doesn't tell you
Bird Box.
They kind of tell you how many households need to watch it. like for them to presumably make their money back, but they don't tell you how that's calculated.
Right.
But yeah, I think they said, well, 83 million households or something like that, like have to watch this for them to like make it back. But it was like a shit ton more than that. Yeah. So this, I believe as of now, this is the number one most viewed.
That may not be saying much,
movie though. On Netflix.
That may not be saying much. I've like never ever. Heard of Bird Box. What the hell's Bird Box?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah,
it was a horror movie. Oh, okay. It was a horror movie.
All right.
Based on a novel by Josh Malerman.
Yeah.
That was a couple years ago.
I don't think November was a real good month for movies either.
This made a couple million at the theater, but it was just, like I said, it was only released, like, limited. Because pretty much Netflix were kind of like, I think they paid, this was also the highest that they'd ever paid for. They think they paid like $200 million for this shit.
Okay.
Or that's how much it cost to make. I'm not entirely sure how that worked out. Yeah. But they paid like a lot of money for that. I mean,
it's definitely a
this is a very, very expensive looking movie. Yeah. I will say.
It's definitely a big budget movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's
big
like,
time.
It's like Fast and the Furious or something.
Yeah.
And it's not deep. It's not clever or anything. It's just a funny fucking action movie with a bunch of crazy shit that happens in it. Very entertaining. You're not supposed to be thinking about this too much. It does have good special effects. It's got good acting. It's got The Rock's fucking awesome in it, like he always is.
I mean, he's always awesome. He can just kind of stand there.
Yeah, The Rock is The Rock.
Yeah.
He consistently plays that character.
Yeah, you know that's okay, though.
That's fine. That's what people are paying to see.
Yeah.
As we were watching it, I'm like, and I don't like to say this. I don't like to compare one person to the next all the time, you know, when it comes to the arts. But I'm watching this, I'm going like, man, The Rock is so much better than fucking Arnie.
Oscar is already disagreeing with you.
Oh, really? Fuck you. There were certain roles that Arnie would fucking, you could not replace Arnie in a lot of those roles. Like, you could never replace Arnie in The Terminator. Or Predator 1.
Yeah.
Or fucking Commando. Or, fucking Conan. There are just certain iconic roles that were just fucking perfect for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold was not really, he did not come across as like a real guy or like a real friendly person, or he never came across as being like a real person.
He's always a bit robotic.
Yeah, he plays a good robot or a good villain or a good, he's not the kind of guy you want to hang out with in these movies, you know.
And probably in real life either.
Yeah, you don't really want... Even though he's fucking great in some movies. Now he came back with Maggie. He acted in that one.
Actually impressed by his acting.
That was probably his best
one
when it came to acting. So he did get better. But The Rock always comes across as somebody who you'd like to hang out with.
Well,
Arnie never really came out... You want to see Arnie, but you have the impression that you don't really want to hang out with him too long.
Right.
Even though in real life, that's not the way he was. A lot of people said that he was addictive to be around. It's just it didn't
that
come
he was
across,
like kind of fun. Yeah, it didn't come across on screen.
Didn't come across on screen.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Right. But in real life, fucking Arnie, they say he was just addictive. You know what I mean? To be you'd hang out with him. You didn't want to stop hanging out with him. Because he was in real life, he's a fucking total clown. And a fucking real smart ass and just fucking hilarious. And I think you only get a little bit of that from the documentary Pumping Iron. That's more like how he is. He's a clown. And here's the thing. Arnie comes out and says shit about fucking politics and people get mad and this. You can't take, and about veganism and shit. You can't take fucking Arnie seriously, man. The dude's a clown. He was always a clown. He'll troll the shit out of people. It just seemed real serious. He's not serious. He's not a serious guy. He's a clown. You know? But I was just saying that, you know, because, I don't know. A lot of people think that he has gravitas. He doesn't. No, Arnie's a clown.
Oscar says, The Rock can't act. Dave Bautista is far better. I like Dave Bautista, too. The Rock, well...
The Rock acts.
He acts, but he always acts like himself. But I said, I don't have a problem with some actors like that if the person that they're being is cool.
Yeah.
The Rock kind of just plays himself in every role, but that's, like I said, that's what you want to see, and what I was going to say was that The Rock has kind of like a charm and a sex appeal that Arnie never really had.
No, The Rock comes off as a sexy guy. You can understand that fucking women would be attracted to him. Arnold himself knew that he was not a sex symbol really in that way. Guys liked him more than women did, you know, on screen.
Yeah, there's just something like not.
Yeah.
Not all that. There's right. He doesn't have a lot of sex appeal.
Not on screen.
Not really.
But women that knew Arnie, like his girlfriend, said that he just was. It was like catnip. You couldn't stop hanging around with him. He was sexy in person, just not on screen.
Yeah, but that, that happens. I mean, right. And like I said, everybody's got their own thing
right.
that they're doing, and that was his thing, and he was good at that.
Yeah.
You know what
now,
I mean?
There is one movie that does come to mind that The Rock fucking kills it, and he is acting. And that was that one true crime story here in Florida. What was it called? Pain and Gain?
Oh, yeah.
Pain
that
and Gain.
That one where he played like that big Jesus freak?
He plays a Jesus freak.
I love
that
movie.
A real religious fucking guy. A religious bodybuilder. That's what it was based on. The real character was a guy in a gym. He was a big old bodybuilder. And he was just way, way off into Jesus. And he gets involved in this damn crime. And if you haven't seen Pain and Gain, man, fucking it's a masterpiece. And that's a Michael Bay movie, isn't it?
I can't remember now.
I think it might have been. Isn't his name Michael Bay?
Bay.
Bay? Yeah, he does all the Transformers and shit.
He does all the explosions.
I'm not a fucking boomer, all right? I'm fucking Gen X, but I act like a boomer. Like, yeah, Michael Bay. Yeah, that one. Yeah, him.
He does. That's why.
Most of these people are not.
Like, I've known him for like 11 or 12 years. Yeah. Like, I think within like 6 months of knowing him, I was like, you kind of sound like my grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who died in 1991. Yeah.
Well, the weird thing is we do this show and a fucking commentary on it and everything. I'm a goth dude. I don't really give a shit about fucking mainstream culture and celebrities. I mean, there's certain guys that do stand out, certain women that do stand out. I like their shit. And there's certain directors that do stand out. But a lot of them I don't give a fuck about. I just don't give a fuck about them. Some of them do have artistic qualities that I appreciate. Other ones are just cash grabbers in a corporate system. They're interchangeable. And Bay is like that. He knows how to make big blockbusters.
Which is fine.
If you want to see that,
I'm not really into those, but I'm not going to shit on because everybody likes different shit.
They make
everybody's
a lot of money, and that's what movies are out there.
A lot of people like those, obviously.
That kind of movie, it's designed from the ground up to make a shit ton of money. Now, he did one that wasn't designed for that, and it was called Pain and Gain, and it's fucking great. It's fucking great.
I like it
nothing
because
like his other movies.
It's
really
a comedy, but it is a pitch black comedy. It's based on like a real crime and a really fucked up crime.
Right. And The Rock's got a big role in that one. You don't hear him talk about that movie that much because he is playing another character. In that one, I realized that The Rock can act. He can act.
Yeah. It's just that's
not what they're hiring.
It's just
him for.
That usually you want to see him like in Jumanji or something like that. You just want to see him being The Rock, or like in Fighting with My Family, where he essentially where he played himself. But you know, that's what you want to see because he just seems like such a fun-loving, charming dude, and so that's kind of what you're paying the ticket price to see. And I think that this movie in particular, the reason why there was such a massive bidding war. And if you see it, you'll understand why, is because this is, and you know, you can say that this movie was cynically calculated to make as much money as possible. That, you know, that would probably be true, but it's still like a really entertaining movie. It's like you got The Rock, you got Ryan Reynolds, who's probably like one of the biggest fucking stars in the world. Yeah. You got Gal Gadot, who was Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And so you have these three fucking huge, massive stars, and they're going to fly them all over the world. They're going to Rome. They're going to Bali. They're going like all over the fucking place. And it's just this massive like heist, fun, action, buddy cop movie, essentially.
Kind of has element of 48 Hours, where you got a cop with a prisoner, basically, and they're doing all this shit. But the thing is, though, is that everybody's being fucking playing to type in this movie.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it gives you fucking whiplash. You find out that it wasn't what you thought it was, which I thought that was brilliant.
I did like that, and honestly, I didn't see it coming, because the movie, like I said, it's nothing you haven't seen before. It's kind of, but it knows that. It's very self-aware. It knows that it's essentially being like Ocean's 11 or Raiders of the Lost Ark, and they're making like a lot of snarky like inside jokes about this.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds is being Ryan Reynolds. If you don't like Deadpool or you don't like anything like that, you probably will not like this, because Ryan Reynolds is being... is essentially being Deadpool. Yeah. But that's kind of what he does. Although he's in some... He was in a great movie called The Voices, I think we talked about, where he was kind of more of a subdued kind of part. So he can do that. But again, this is one where the movie, they wanted Ryan Reynolds to do the Ryan Reynolds shtick. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Everybody's doing the shtick.
They're doing the shtick.
Yeah.
I will say the cinematography in this, gorgeous. I loved like all the different locations. I like heist movies. I especially like stuff about art heists because I'm interested in that in real life. Like I really like art forgery, art heists. I'm really interested in that. So I like that aspect of it. So they were hoping that this movie would be really successful because if you see the end of this movie, which I won't spoil, they are obviously setting up a sequel. And I think Netflix... I think they were hoping that this would be successful so they could have, like, a Fast and the Furious type of franchise. So you can tell that they're kind of trying to set that up. Again, you could say it's, like, a cynical cash grab, but it's still, like, an enjoyable movie, so I'm not too mad about it. So I guess that this was successful enough that as of this month, well, as of January, Netflix greenlighted two sequels, and they're going to shoot them, like, at the same time, like, back-to-back. So this is essentially going to be like a trilogy, I guess, unless something happens after that. Because, yeah, they set up at the end, they're going to do another heist. You know what I mean? But did we even say what the story of this is? We probably didn't.
Yeah.
So
they're in there talking about Arnie. Fucking Danny hasn't seen Eraser. Eraser sucked, man. I have it on Blu-ray. I didn't like it.
I did not like Eraser. No. I liked True Lies, although I think I liked it better the first time I saw it than when I rewatched it. Yeah. Eraser I didn't like. End of Days I really didn't like.
Yeah.
And I saw that in the theater, and I even didn't like that the first time. I was just kind of like, oh my god, this is fucking stupid. But
the last of the traditional big Arnie flick, you know, we're talking about, you know, along the lines of Terminator or fucking, what was the one? Fucking Total Recall, Running Man. The last one like that he did, I think it was called Sixth Day or Fifth Day. I don't remember, about the genetic engineering. I have it on Blu-ray. It's fucking great.
I did like that.
That was the last of the archetypal Arnie flick. And it had a lot of the people that were on the old Arnie flicks in it. Michael Rooker was in it. It was pretty good. It was about cloning. And it was kind of like... It was just like one of the old school Arnie flicks. Kind of reminded me of... what was the one where he goes to Mars? Fucking get your ass back to Mars.
Total Recall.
It's like kind of like Total Recall, but about cloning. And, you know, he made movies after that that were pretty good. The Last Stand was okay. Maggie had good acting in it.
I liked Maggie a lot, actually.
The one about the plane crash, what was it called? Damage? I think it was called Damage.
Aftermath.
Aftermath, that's Aftermath. What it's called. That one was fucking weird, too. He played a villain in that one.
I actually quite like, I like when he plays a villain.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. I think he makes a good villain.
He gave up on his band to be in villains because that probably would have ended his career if he was always a villain because he was a great villain.
Well, once you get kind of like, especially dudes, like when you get like old and crotchety, I mean, it's probably easier to play villains. I always thought, I mean, I'm not an actor, but I've, you know, pretty much every actor has said that it's always like more interesting to play villains.
Yeah. Now, one of the things about, I think it was called Sixth Day or Fifth Day. I think one of the reasons why it didn't get rated too well, I think, by Hollywood is because, if I remember correctly, it had some subtle Christian overtones, which would put it, remember we're talking about some Christian movies were good and when most of them sucked? That one I would call a good Christian movie because it was about anti-cloning and souls. Remember that?
They talked about that. I didn't get too much of, like...
It's real subtle.
Yeah, they didn't do... It wasn't, like, in your face, which is probably why...
No, it's real subtle. Because there ends up, in the end of that one, there being two Arnolds. And they let them live because they had souls.
That's right.
Remember that? That was the
yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't obnoxious, though.
No, it wasn't obnoxious.
And like I said, we've talked about this before. Like, you know, you could call The Exorcist a Christian movie.
Yeah.
But it's not... obnoxious about it, and it's still a good movie in its own right. It's not trying to push an agenda necessarily.
Right, and also all of the damn the Final Conflict and what was that series? One ended with the Final Conflict. The Omen. The whole Omen series. It was a Christian series. You know, so it can be done well. It's just that a lot of shit like Pure Flix and shit, they don't have talented directors, and it's too preachy and too cookie cutter, not artistic enough. You have to be kind of artistic, and you have to be kind of neutral about certain things, you know. Noah, Darren Aronofsky, fucking awesome flick.
Man,
it's
I
like
love
watching
that
movie. Prometheus or something, or
I
Alien.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
You really need to see Requiem for a Dream.
All right.
I will. It's a pretty soul crushing movie though. So you probably won't want to watch it twice because it's a big bummer. But Ellen Burstyn from Exorcist is in it. Jennifer Connelly is in it. It's depressing, but it's really really good. It's actually visually really cool. But anyway, okay. So let me get back to this movie.
Okay.
So. Now I totally like lost my place. Okay, so The Rock plays a dude named John Hartley, a special agent, and he is tracking this big time art thief, the second best art thief in the world, right? Played by Ryan Reynolds. And I can't remember what's the art thief's Booth. That's right, his last name is Booth. So at the beginning, they have this whole thing where they explain what Cleopatra's eggs are and yada yada. And then, so The Rock is in Rome and he's like saying, okay, well, Booth is going to come steal the egg that's here. And so then there's kind of like a big chase. Actually, the chase in the first part, like in the museum in Rome, was kind of like the scaffolding thing at the beginning of Casino Royale. Did you notice that? I'm pretty sure they were homaging Casino Royale there. So there's a lot of homages to other films in this. Like I said, there's nothing super original about it.
No, well then they know that too. They'll hit a fake riff in the soundtrack to let you know they're talking about shit like
a couple times
Mission
you went
Impossible.
Ba-da.
Mission Impossible.
Or like Ryan Reynolds whistling the Indiana Jones theme at one point, like when they were going down into the Nazi thing. So it's very like aware
they
of itself.
It's giving you what you want though.
Yeah.
It's giving you it's bending over backwards to give you what you wanted in a playful way. So it's great. I thought it was great.
Yeah. So he tries to get catch him, the guy gets away, and then The Rock gets set up by the number one art thief in the world, played by Gal Gadot, who's going by the name of The Bishop. And so she has him set up, and so him and Ryan Reynolds are put in the same prison cell in Russia. And they decide, well, we're going to bust out of here, and you're going to help me catch the bishop, and I'll, like, in exchange for me letting you go, and then you'll be the number one art thief in the world because she'll be in prison. So then they have to, like, work together, and they really don't like each other. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like your standard buddy cop kind of setup where he's supposed to be like this real upright FBI agent and Ryan Reynolds just this snarky wisecracking guy who does not like to work with anybody ever. So that and their kind of like shtick like back and forth is actually pretty funny. So I do like that kind of aspect of it. They played along with each other very good. But so it's just this kind of fun globe hopping heist movie with just them, like, sniping at each other the whole time. Which, you know, if that sounds like something you would like, it's, you know, it's not super original, but it's just fun, you know.
Well, it's on Netflix now, and fucking, you know, it's worth seeing. If you have the service, then watch it. It's a good flick.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just a fun turn-your-brain-off kind of...
We're not gonna spoil it, though.
Yeah, because it's new. It's new,
yeah. Okay, Jake Adams also says that Raw Deal is one of the best Arnold's movies. I would say, no, it is not. No.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
I have all of Arnie's movies on Blu-ray, with the exception of True Lies. There's no Blu-ray release for that, just DVD. And I have Raw Deal on Blu-ray. It's a boring movie, not well written. It gets better towards the end when he starts shooting the place up.
What's that one about?
He's an undercover cop in it.
Okay, that's not really that's narrowing about it down it. For me.
He penetrates some kind of organized crime.
And that's it.
It's very dry. The acting isn't good. The writing isn't that good. It just ends in a pretty good action scene at the end. Okay, for instance, like, it can never hold a candle to fucking Commando. Commando's like fucking five times that. But that one's not one of his good ones. It just came out at a certain time when Arnold was big and people watched it. I think I saw it in the drive-in.
I saw it on cable, but I don't remember anything about it.
And then there's not much to it. Trying to think, somebody else said something about Arnold in here.
Adriana C. says, watch Requiem for a Dream after watching Dead Ringers, and I was in a soul-crushing state for a month. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, well, they're talking about Total Recall. I get into a fucking fight every time with Lil Swole about Total Recall. That's his favorite movie, too. You guys realize that fucking that Arnie's tripping in that, right? What was his name in the movie? Fucking Quaid? I think his name is Quaid. Quaid is tripping. No, Quaid was his character's name. I don't remember what his name was before he went in. He's still back at Recall. He never left. He got the vacation he paid for. None of it happened.
Every time we see Lil Swole,
he tries to flip his name around.
Yeah. They end up in this discussion.
What about the sweat on his brow?
Because I can hear them like on the other side of the bar, and I was like, "Are they arguing about Total Recall again?"
It's Philip Dix. It's Philip Dix and fucking in
Philip K. Dick.
Philip K. Dix, and he wrote just the story, and it was called fucking.
We can get it for you. We can remember it for you wholesale.
Yeah, we can remember it for you wholesale, and it is about a company that sells you memories because you can't. You can't afford to.
But see, those kind of movies are always a mind fuck because you never know. And that's kind of like what's cool about them is the ambiguity. Yeah. Because if somebody implanted memories in your head, you would never know.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And there'd be no way of knowing.
It will.
Not really.
The meaning of the story is that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's the reality that you know.
Yeah.
And so it's real for you.
Yeah.
Was it real? No. No, he's back at Recall. They gave him the fantasy that he paid for. Now, was he having the embolism and he couldn't come out of it? No. No. That was just part of the ego trip that he bought. Because they told him that he would 100% believe it. So all that damn plausible deniability and him flipping it around and the secret agents and him with the fucking embolism and everything, that was all just committing to the belief. But,
well, yeah, because you'd think for people to keep coming back and buying that service, it would have to be as good as possible. Yeah. So they would have winnowed it down to everything that made everything seem as completely realistic as possible.
Yeah. They gave him the woman that he chose in the very beginning. You remember he selected what kind of woman he liked. And in the end, he saved Mars, saved Earth. Saved the fucking, found the alien artifacts, just all that shit. Fucking, he got that he was a secret agent. He got everything that he paid for. Yeah.
Danny Rolling Ghostface says, I can't stand Ryan Reynolds at all. Okay, well, if you can't stand Ryan Reynolds, I will say, then you will hate this movie. Because he is Ryan Reynolds-ing the shit out of the movie.
Yeah.
So if you don't like, then don't watch this because it will just annoy the shit out of you. I don't mind it, like I said. I don't mind it. His thing. So it is a little much sometimes, but that's okay. And then he says, except for the Ryan Reynolds film where he's schizophrenic and lives above a bowling alley, which was a good film. Yeah, The Voices. That's the one that I was talking about earlier. I think Sophie sent us that actually, and we reviewed it. We did a matinee on that a while back. Yeah, I really like that one a lot. But he was a lot more subdued in that. In this one, he's essentially just like Deadpool without the suit on.
Yeah. So. Cool 122 said that Conan was his best movie. Conan was a fucking masterpiece. You can learn a lot from the story of Conan. That's one of my best, one of the best directors of all times. That's like the how-to manual for how to be a badass. And
how to make a man movie.
How to make a man out of you. Fucking
it's man
all,
movie.
All that damn Nietzschean philosophy. Okay. Now, is that the best Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? No, but it's up there. It's up there. It gets to a certain point where one's not better than the other. They're just among the greats. And his greats are Conan, Predator 1, Terminator 1, Commando, Terminator 2. Now, I personally don't like Terminator 2, but a lot of people like it. It is a good movie. It just
I like it. I just don't like that kid. Yeah, I don't like Edward Furlong.
Yeah,
in it.
Right.
And I mean, I'm sure he's fine in real life. It's just I don't like him in that movie.
That movie was the beginning of the end of the Terminator franchise. They made some mistakes with that. Should have never made Arnie the Terminator, the Arnie character, a fucking good guy in that one. No. He had to be
He was just so much better as a villain.
Yeah. They just should have sent another fucking bad guy who looked just like that. That's all they had to do. Yeah. Another robot that looked just like that. That's all they needed.
I mean, you know.
But he didn't want to play villain roles.
I know.
Contracts and shit at that time.
Because if you're an actor that gets typecast into playing villains,
right.
You know, you just play villains forever and you don't really become a star. You need to be like a leading man.
Arnie's best roles are roles where he played morally ambiguous characters. I think he was kind of gray.
Yeah.
Conan was gray. It wasn't white or black. It was a synthesis of good and evil. He was going beyond good and evil, which is a Nietzschean concept. Power, you know, and then how to use it wisely. That was what that story was about.
Yeah, Jake Adams said Arnie and Conan was only good because of the director.
Yes.
That's why the sequel was not so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sequel was, it had its moments, but...
Well, they dumbed it down for kids.
Yeah, and really, they should have spent some more money on the special effects.
Yeah, that movie would have been a lot better if they hadn't had those stupid boss fights with dudes in fucking rubber costumes. It would have been a lot better.
Well, yeah.
But that was the problem, the boss fight. You could fix that movie if you were to just CGI a real good action scene instead of that stupid-ass fucking dude with the lizard head, you know, fucking in a room full of mirrors. That's fucking dumb.
I mean, it just looked so cheap.
It looked really bad.
It just looked really cheap. It's like I could probably shoot some better shit than that in here.
That was the scene that ruined that movie. I want to go back and see Red Sonja. I don't have that one. That has Arnie in it.
I kind of feel like we were going to watch that the other day, and then we forgot about it or we watched something else.
I said I had all his movies. I guess I lied. I don't have Red Sonja.
Oh, you lied.
I lied. And I think there might be two of those.
I don't know why we ended up talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger when we were talking about a movie with The Rock in it. Especially after you said that you liked The Rock more than...
I think I like The Rock a little bit better on screen. But...
Well, like I said, he kind of oozes charm.
Yeah.
In a way that Arnie didn't. Right. Even though The Rock is not always in great movies,
right.
He's always entertaining to watch because he just seems like such a nice dude. And honestly, if you follow him on his social media and stuff, I don't, but I've seen other people post tweets and stuff. And he just seems like a really delightful, down-to-earth person. And he also always seems really enthusiastic. When one of his movies does well, he's always kind of yay, thank you you guys, blah blah blah. So you know what I mean, he's really cute like that, and he's kind of geeky, which I kind of dig,
or at least that's how he plays it. There, I think there's a certain amount of act to the Rock character. He's just on the ball, on his game when he's playing that way.
I mean, sure, that's probably, I mean, anybody that's that big a star,
right?
That
start to become a character.
They're gonna project a certain image. You know what I mean? You kind of have to.
What the Rock doesn't have is the Rock doesn't have any epic classic films. You know what I mean? Like fucking Terminator 1 and fucking
He's more a funny guy.
Yeah. Another thing is that Iraq appeared at a time when when movies like that weren't having the same impact on society. The competition was more. There was a bigger playing field, and things were going more to video games. Just times were changing. Movies are not as cool as they were.
Well, it's crazy to me.
Movies were that was all you had.
The more that I read about this movie, Red Notice, I was I was amazed because this came out and it was a big, huge deal on Netflix. It was in their top 10 for a month. And I only just now heard of it just because I don't check Netflix that much. And if I do check it, then I usually just check the horror section. I usually check horror and I check and see if there's anything any new weird cooking shows or shit like that. So I don't usually look at action adventure or anything. I usually just check horror, and you know, I like shows like Movies That Made Us and stuff like that. If there's new episodes of that, that's like all I check for. So sometimes like some big action adventure thing can come out and 200 bajillion people can see it and be talking about it, and I haven't heard of it. And like all the famous people in the world could be in it, and I haven't heard about it just because I'm kind of so...
Yeah.
I'm so in my own little niche, but it's so easy to do that nowadays. Yeah. Like, you know.
You can go off into your own world. Now, if y'all like Conan, I was talking to you that liked Conan. If you liked Conan, that was John Milius. You also want to see John Milius's other stuff he was involved in. The one that came out before that was Robert Redford and fucking Jeremiah Johnson. Fucking, that's like the American Conan. You know, it was based on a dude named Liver Eating Johnson, all right, who was... fucking cannibal, okay? But that's part of the... It came from a book called Crow Killer. It was about a guy out in the mountains who waged a one-man war against the Crow Indians because they killed his wife, who was a Flathead Indian. And nobody knows how much of these stories are actually true for just legend. I think a lot of it's legend because people could lie a lot. It was hard to verify back in the 1800s. But you want to see Jeremiah Johnson? And then the other one that Milius was involved in is you want to see Apocalypse Now. That's fucking Conan in Vietnam, basically. Yeah, right. You want to see the long version, the director's cut. Oh, yeah. Really good.
Well, we've been watching Rome, the HBO series.
Yeah, that's Milius also.
I bought it for him for Christmas.
It's great, yeah.
And that's, yeah, John Milius was like the show creator and producer of it.
Yeah, so. True to history. Very true to what
it is actually one of the most historically accurate things about that period that I've ever seen.
And so far has been true to what we know of Roman culture and what has remained. You know, you can only know so much because so much has been lost since 2,000 years. But this, it just kind of captures the vibe of the era, the thinking of the time. I like it. We're not finished with it. We're about halfway through it.
Cool. 122194 says watched Hunter Prey last night. Good flick.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Yeah,
that's good. I'm glad you watched it.
Yeah.
Adriana C says Edward Furlong was great in Pecker, the John Waters film. I agree. I don't dislike Edward Furlong as an actor because he has been in some good stuff. I just didn't like the character that he played in T2.
Yeah.
This was a problem with a lot of more child teenage actors like in the 90s, and it was movies, TV, everything. I didn't like that. And I think Bart Simpson maybe started it,
yeah.
Where all of the kids had to be like, you know, smart talking, like smart aleck.
And smarter than adults.
Yeah. And it's just kind of, and they were like all real smug and then, I hated that whole.
It's the American version of a Japanese Kenny.
Yeah. I hated that whole thing. And I kind of feel like Edward Furlong was like that. Like, everyone was so, like, over, like, edgelordy, and everyone was just kind of like, oh, God. I was, like, so over it, like, even back then. So it's like, I liked T2 more back then, but rewatching it, I was kind of like, oh, my God, that kid's so fucking annoying.
There's a lot of cheese in the T2 narrative, too, where you have basically a waitress gives birth to a revolutionary leader. She trains him as a boy. And has the ability to train him when he was a boy because her boyfriend was from Special Forces. No, that's not how it works, okay? If he were to be some kind of revolutionary general in the future, he would come from a legitimate military organization or would have fought his way up through a military organization, wouldn't have anything to do with who his mom is. Now, biologically, that might happen, but she wouldn't have much to do with it. That's what I'm trying to say. It would be his life created him into that. And when you see how he's portrayed in T2, that's exact opposite of what it takes to be a military leader or to have good military leadership skills. You know, that.
Yeah, it's kind of, exact opposite. It was kind of the same thing that happened, like when they showed, you know, Anakin Skywalker in the prequels of Star Wars. It's like, I don't believe that whiny little bitch is going to grow up to be Darth Vader.
No.
And it was kind of the same thing here. It's like, I don't believe that edgelordy little shit is going to be, like, the savior of the world in the future. I'm just not buying it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, it'd be more likely that he'd be a quiet little Boy Scout just watching. That's more likely. He'd been kind of nerdy. Into Dungeons and Dragons. That type of stuff.
Yeah, see, I would have... Now, see, that's a movie I would have watched.
Right.
I didn't need this kind of, like, little delinquent child.
Yeah, no.
Who's that, mouthing off to everybody.
No. That usually doesn't end up being that kind of person.
No, I agree. So maybe that's what kind of bothered me about it, too. Right. I didn't buy it. Yeah. All right, so you ready to wrap it up? All right, so yeah, this movie that we were talking about, but off and on, Red Notice. If you like The Rock, if I'm just gonna say, and I'm gonna mention this again, if you don't like Ryan Reynolds' shtick, then don't watch it because he's doing it in this. So if you didn't like Deadpool or any of that, then you probably won't like this. But other than that, it's not super original, but it's just a good time. It's fun. It has like really fabulous locations and fabulous like masquerade balls and all that kind of stuff. You know, and it's just like a fun movie. So just have a beer and watch it and. You know who would have
been a good example of who could become a revolutionary leader or Darth Vader? The way Octavian is shown in that old series, in that Rome series.
Yeah, that kid.
Which is a quiet boy who's real intelligent. Adults can ask him something. He's like a human computer. He can come back remembering everything that he heard.
Yeah, see, I could buy that kid.
That's their more
being
like that.
Darth Vader.
Right, and they're like, hey, kid, go get laid. And he's like, oh, I don't know, you know. He's just real shy. They tend to end up real shy, real intelligent. They tend to grow up being leaders and Darth Vaders and shit.
They tend to grow up being Darth Vaders, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I could totally buy that.
Right.
That kid's actually really good in that.
Because they have to start off having discipline.
Yeah.
And that's how they start off.
Yeah.
Nietzsche talks about it.
Okay, yep. So I guess we'll wrap it up for today.
Yep.
Tomorrow's Wednesday, so it's going to be our regular show. And let's see, what won in the poll? James Ruppert and the Easter Sunday Massacre. So we're going back to true crime. So hopefully everybody's all excited about that. This was actually a case I didn't really know all that much about. So I've read some about it, and I'm going to do like some more research later and tomorrow. And we will talk about it tomorrow evening on the show. So have a good rest of your day, you guys. And thanks for dropping by. And we will see you guys tomorrow evening.